Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi 2016 first half consolidated results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, CEO of De'Longhi. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the De'Longhi Group first half 2016 results conference call. With me, Mr. Micheli, Director of Finance, Mr. Biella, Director of Administration, and Mr. Ruffini, Investor Relations. Before opening the floor to your questions, we will begin by providing some brief comments on the group results. In the first six months of 2016, the group was able to deliver yet another set of results marked by strong profitability and cash flow generation, but also excluding the Middle East performance, a very good organic growth. This is particularly satisfactory since it was achieved in a consumer spending environment, which continues to be difficult in several important geographies. Our revenues were, however, stable year-on-year in organic terms, supported by growth in key markets of Europe, North America, and China, with an organic acceleration in the second quarter. As for markets, small domestic appliances continue to be well-oriented and confirm their resiliency. This is especially evident for espresso coffee makers, where our leadership stays strong. In line with our expectations, the external environment did not change significantly since we last spoke in May. The group's revenue growth, on the contrary, marked an improvement and turned slightly positive in organic terms in the second quarter. In those markets where the consumption and economic environment are not disrupted by external factors, the distinctive positioning of our brands and the strength of our products continue to translate into solid growth. In fact, if we exclude Middle East, India, and Africa region, our revenues were up by as much as +4.5% in the second quarter at constant exchange rates and excluding derivatives. Among others, the second quarter saw encouraging signs of growth for Kenwood. With better sales of kitchen machines, Kenwood recorded organic revenue growth rates of +3% in Northeast as well as Southwest Europe. Going forward, the group's organic revenue growth is expected to pick up in the remainder of the year, especially in the fourth quarter. At that point, we will begin to benefit from new product launches and additional marketing investments. Such investments are part of our broader initiatives to provide additional fuel to future revenue growth. The benefits of this plan will be fully enjoyed in the coming years, when we expect to return to higher organic growth rates, more in line with our long-term targets of +5%. Let's now move to the main items of our half-year results. At 771.9 million euro, revenues in the first half of the year were nearly stable year-on-year in organic terms, +0.1%, with growth in the second quarter, +0.6%, compensating for the slight decline of quarter one. The depreciation of some export currencies, mainly the Russian ruble, the Australian dollar, the British pound, resulted in a noticeable foreign exchange impact, which brought revenues down by 2.4% year-on-year. By geography, the second quarter marked an improvement in all regions, with the exception of Middle East, India, and Africa. Here, an unfavorable economic and social climate, driven also by the drop of oil prices, combined with the destocking actions and certain import limitations, resulted in a drop of revenues. We expect such trend to progressively improve going forward, although at a moderate pace. Revenues in Europe were nearly stable in the first half, minus 0.1%, with both sub-regions recording positive organic growth rates. In Southwest Europe, up by 1.7% organically, growth was driven by Italy and Germany, while Turkey and sales of single-serve espresso coffee makers were weaker. But in the second quarter, organic growth for Southwest Europe stood at plus 4.4%. Northeast Europe grew by 2.6% in organic terms, while slightly declining at current foreign exchange rates. Poland and Czech Republic outperformed, while Russia and the United Kingdom were negative due to underlying market conditions on top of unfavorable currency moves. But again, second quarter for this region reported growth rate at plus 7.1%. Organic revenues in the Asia, Pacific and Americas region were up by 3.4% in the first half. Here, the positive performance of North America and China, sustained by coffee makers, air conditioning and Braun, was limited by the steep revenue drop in Brazil, where underlying market conditions continue to be very weak. Also here, second quarter organic growth stood at plus 2.6%, fairly in line with the first quarter, despite the weak market condition, as said, in Brazil. Looking at our product lines, coffee emerged as the fastest growing category over the first half of the year, led by bean-to-cup automatic coffee makers as well as manual espresso makers, both growing at double-digit rates. Portable air conditioners were very strong as well, and growth came also from heating and ironing. Revenues of cooking and food preparation products declined as compared with last year due to market weakness in those geographies most relevant to this category. In example, MEIA. However, Braun continued to be accretive to the growth of hand blenders in the first 6 months of the year, while in the second quarter, the Kenwood brand showed signs of improvement in Europe, with organic growth rates of 3% supported by kitchen machines. While the top line was affected by an uneven development of the reference markets, our focus on value resulted in significant growth of profitability and margins. Pricing and mix more than offset the negative impact of foreign exchange rates, and our product cost improved to greater efficiency, lower cost of raw materials, as well as transportation. Net industrial margin for the first half of the year amounted to about €382 million, growing by 3.3%. In the second quarter, at nearly €198 million. Net industrial margin was equal to 48% of sales, a yearly increase of 2 percentage points. EBITDA, before non-recurring items, reached €106.6 million in the first half, improving by 11.8% on last year and reaching 13.8% of sales, an increase of 1.7 percentage points. Excluding foreign exchange variation and hedging, EBITDA before non-recurring items was €107.2 million, up by 29.5%. EBIT growth was very strong as well, at more than 13% year-on-year. Lower financial charges, mostly due to lower banking charges and a better tax rate, translated into a net income pertaining to the group of €49.4 million, growing very strongly at 32% year-on-year in the first half. Next, I'll move to briefly comment on some key balance sheet items. As of June 30th, the group was in a net cash position of €173.5 million, improving from €104 million net cash position as of the end of June 2015, and slightly lower than year-end 2015, in line with business seasonality. Excluding non-cash components, the net financial position versus banks and the third-party lenders improved by more than €84 million in the 12 months and was positive by about 206 million at the end of June 2016, on the back of a very strong operating cash flow generation. Lastly, net working capital in absolute value was down by nearly 3 million euro over the past 12 months, despite the increase in business activity. As a percentage of sales, this means a reduction of 0.5 percentage points, down to 12.5%. Behind this result, there was an improvement in inventory and in the management of receivables. Having touched upon the main results, I would like to comment on the outlook for the year, which has not changed since we released our first quarter results. Revenues expected to grow at mid to low single digit rates in organic terms are forecasted to accelerate in the last quarter, when we will benefit from additional marketing investments already launched. Such investments are part of our strategy to support revenue growth also in the coming years. This will enable us to better take advantage of the market opportunities even in the current market scenario, still difficult in several geographies. And growth should be more in line with our long-term growth targets of plus 5% growth rate. Lastly, our target to grow EBITDA in absolute value is confirmed. We now expect a less severe negative foreign exchange impact, down from about minus 45 million euros to about minus 40. With this, my introduction is over, and I leave room to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Nicolas Langlet of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I've got three questions, please. The first one will be on the cooking division. So you said the sales decline year on year in H1. Now, can you give us what was the decline rate at constant currency? And also, if you can remind us what was the trend in Q1 and Q2. Second question, on the H1 EBITDA, can you help us just to understand what were the main key drivers and if you can quantify them, meaning in terms of volume, price mix, FX, raw material and other costs, it would be very nice. And lastly, on FX, so you reduced the full year objective at minus 40 million euro. Now, if we look at 2017, given the current rate, do you expect another negative FX impact, or actually could be neutral next year? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We will try to gather some data for you about cooking. I frankly think that we will provide you with some data on cooking first, but I have to say that due to the very weak performance in Middle East, it's not easy to read across the product category performance, as Middle East is traditionally very strong, very important for us in cooking and food preparation. So weakness in this area would automatically translate in weakness in this category. But this doesn't mean that we have underlying growth in several European markets and core markets for cooking. However, I give you the data, so I don't think it's really very meaningful. However, I will give you this. Second quarter cooking went down year on year at 9% and was down for the first half 10%. However, highly affected by Middle East and also Russia. These data are at current exchange rates. I don't have the figure available at a constant exchange rate right now. We will gather the information and provide you with it later.
Okay.
With regards
with regards to the half one drivers, and to say that we have Forex, okay, price mix was about up 15.6 million euros. Sorry, price is 15.6 million euros and mix is about 10 million euros.
Yes.
Positive.
Yeah.
And hedging, negative contribution for approximately 16 million euros. Then obviously we have ups and downs in other items. But these are the key items.
Okay, and can you quantify what was the raw material benefit in H1?
7 million in total costs, not just raw materials. Total
okay,
cost.
Total cost 7 million euros.
Total
okay.
Cost on COGS.
Okay.
Next question is from Niccolò Pessina of Medibanca. Please
go ahead. I have more questions to answer about 2017. Forex is expected to be more line, I would say probably not above 5 million euros probably for the time being. Okay.
The next question is from Niccolò Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. One more question on the food preparation. We see that Kenwood is performing well with a positive performance, and we also learn that brown hand blenders are performing well. So I'm wondering where the weak spots in this category are. Secondly, again on the Forex, the minus 0.6 million impact between reported EBITDA and ex-Forex EBITDA, I'm wondering if we could have a split between the Forex impact and the hedging impact. And lastly, on the net working capital, I'd like to know if we could expect the improvement of the first half to be confirmed also in the second half of the year.
Okay, thank you. So, okay, the first question, I think I have already answered probably before, but it's probably a little bit complicated. So the performance of food preparation is not positive because of Middle East. Kenwood, if we exclude Middle East, is positive, growing in Northeast Europe and also Southwest Europe. So also blenders and brown is doing well. The problem of brown and Kenwood is the region of Middle East. And unfortunately, in Middle East, most of the group sales are in food preparation. So the total performance of food preparation is weak because of Middle East. But again, we are doing fairly well in Europe and in the core markets.
All right. It's clear now. Thanks.
Second, about Forex, most of it is because of hedging. I would say very, very close to totality. The third question is about working capital. I think the group has done a very good job over the years. Obviously, we will be striving to further improve, but I think that for now, I don't want to give expectations for very strong improvements in working capital. I think that we are very close to target, considering that most of our products are sourced in Asia in terms of volumes. There are some physical constraints that are probably implying that strong improvements cannot be expected in the future years.
Okay, very clear. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My first question is your comments on some comments on the consumption environment, because basically you are stating that you are expecting some acceleration, some recovery of top line growth in the second half. I wonder if you see, let's say, if you see really a reason for an improvement in consumption environment, or if you see just, say, an improvement in your market share due to the product launches and marketing investments. And linked to this question, I would like to understand how was the marketing investment in the first half compared to last year, and if you are still budgeting a similar marketing investment for the full year.
We expect to accelerate first of all, the first element is to me the pace we have today. I think that in the quarter we had an acceleration in three of the four regions where the group is already growing at good growth rates. I expect the fourth region, notably Middle East, probably not improving significantly. It actually could also still deliver some negative growth, but this will stabilize. So we really expect a very small negative here, and we believe that the entity of the decline in Middle East will probably not be evident on the total growth of the group. As on the contrary, in the second quarter, due to its entity, unfortunately was able to drag down the organic growth of 4.5% in the top three regions. Having said so, the group is expecting coffee, food preparation, to be strong in some key categories. Also, we will have some innovations available, like for Braun, the new hand blender, and the new fully automatic coffee maker. And we will invest more. So we will accelerate with probably another €6 million of advertising investment in the fourth quarter, which we expect will enable the group to probably accelerate, close the gap to, let's say, our long-term growth rate expectation of plus 5%, which is our traditional long-term target.
Thank you. Can you elaborate on where are you today after the first half in terms of market investment compared to last year? And if this 6 million additional is, 6 million?
For the moment, in the first half, promotional expenses were fairly in line with 1 year ago at around 60 million, while advertising is up from about 7 to about 14. Okay. So we expect this gap to further in advertiser to further grow. So we will have a very, very strong, investment behind the core products, which I think will help the group in some cases to grow the market, like in some of the emerging markets in coffee, in some cases also accelerate our market shares, and also enter a new business segments. The focus of the group will also have as core products now also healthy drink products like blending and slow extractors, which we see as potential products in the future and a very dynamic market we want to be in.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for the information already provided. Got a few questions from my side. If you can comment a little bit more on the new cooperation with Nespresso in the U.S., so what are your expectations, what that should bring to you in the U.S. In 2017 in terms of top line and earnings? Also, if you can share us, what is your impression from the launch of Brown that is taking place right now in the U.S., how things are advancing, what are your expectations? In terms of the Middle East for Kenwood, if you can tell us how much approximately does Middle East account for Kenwood and overall for the cooking categories? A lot of questions. Another question is, what were the one-offs in the first half of the year, a couple of millions? And then you mentioned some new product launches. If you can share a little bit more, what are the key product launches for you in the second half of the year? And you have accumulating cash on the balance sheet. So if you can share what could be the use of cash? You were talking about that you're looking for the external growth opportunities. So would you prefer the cash to be further accumulating? Where do you see the most exciting opportunities, in which categories, regions, or share your M&A view? And then just a follow-up question. You said that the foreign exchange next year, that would be 5 million. Did I understood correctly, only 5 million? Thank you.
Well, many questions. I will try to, I hope that I have duly noted all your questions. In case, please fill in and I will provide you with a right answer. So the
Thank
first
you.
One is about Nespresso. We're very proud to announce also that our Nespresso venture is also for North America. I think it is a tremendous opportunity. It's a tremendous opportunity for two reasons. The first is we believe that Nespresso in the long run will definitely grow its market share in North America. And this will also enable De'Longhi to become a more relevant player in SDA in North America, also thanks to this opportunity. We expect probably this to start with a $20 million growth in the first year, and hopefully to progressively accelerate in the near future. We also know that Nestlé has huge ambitions in North America, and we will very heavily support with media campaigns and advertising campaigns our products in the marketplace. So we really have a high expectation for Nespresso in USA in the future. The second question is about Brown. The Brown brand has been very well accepted. You saw some growth already in the first half is due to Brown, still very limited. We expect most of it to happen in the second half. But the products have been very well accepted. We have very good ratings at Amazon. And also Amazon has delivered good sales at an early stage. But it's too early to judge. But the first comments from the trade, the first comments from consumers, and the first sales through the internet, which is probably the most visible channel of distribution, are positive. So we think that we will probably track in line with our expectations. The third question was about Middle East and cooking, and I think I've already answered. I don't know if you want more color about that, but I said most of the drop of cooking is in the Middle East, unfortunately, due to the stocking and some difficult market conditions. However, I can confirm that our market shares in the region are holding on pretty well. We're not seeing market share erosion in the region. Market share are in good shape, and we think that as soon as the market will stabilize, also you will see progressively better numbers for the group. If numbers should get positive, I expect also a quite quick pickup and acceleration. On the fourth question, I believe is non-recurring. We have approximately 2.5 million euro of non-recurring, 2.7 of non-recurring in the first half. This is mainly due to Germany. We have right-sizing and redefining our supply chain, and this is basically affecting some of our organizations we have in Germany, which were brown teams managing the brown supply chain in from Germany. After, say, 4 years, we have completely integrated these functions in Treviso, and we are progressively reorganizing and right-sizing our structures in Germany. We have already very close to an agreement with the unions, so I expect this number of 2.7 not to change dramatically in the next quarter. And the group, from now on, can count on a say shorter, lighter supply chain organization, which will help also the group to better perform in say in all the markets. Probably I missed your fifth question, and I have the fifth about the cash. So probably I will answer the cash question, and then if you maybe at the, if I missed one question from you, please at the end of my answers to rephrase your question. Cash, yes, we have indeed a lot of cash. It's a tremendous opportunity. It's putting also a lot of pressure on us. We are active. We are looking for opportunities. For the moment, unfortunately, I don't have anything to add. I believe that we are interested in, as said, in strong brands and unique products. We want to invest in, as said before, in brands and or companies with brands like Braun, who are very powerful international brands, or can have baby brands very strong in very specific niches. We also like to have maybe more access to North America. We think also a good opportunity could be to become even stronger, maybe in new categories in Europe, and definitely there is an opportunity in Asia. So I think probably we don't have yet a reason to make use of our cash, but definitely we are, let's say, looking for opportunities across the different regions. We think it could be United States, it could be Europe, it could be Asia. Probably I call out the no interest in investing, for instance, in South America. That's clear. Forex, I said maybe an impact of 5 million. I want to say that this year we expect a 40 million impact. Next year can be negative, can be positive, I think, in around, I'd say, not more than 5%, unless we have, sorry, 5 million euros, unless we have a sudden changes in Forex in the near future.
Thank you. And the last question was on new product launches in the second half. So where are the most exciting things are happening? You mentioned already for a few times, obviously, Braun. What is going on outside Braun with the rest of the portfolio?
Okay. Braun, I said, a new hand blender, De'Longhi, fully automatic coffee machine. Kenwood has a cooking food processor, which now is a very successful category, especially for France. We will launch a new item, they say, to be introduced at the beginning in France and in Italy, also supported by advertising investments. And also we have launched a new power blender and a slow juicer, say a slow extractor, which is a very promising category. So I would say I would highlight these five.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. My first question is a follow-up on Meiya, because I didn't get probably correctly, what are your expectations for the coming two quarters? You mentioned that the market should stabilize. In the second quarter, sales went down by approximately 30-35%. So if these improvements are expecting the short term, or should we look to 2017 also in light of the increased turbulences in the Middle East area? The second question is on the UK market. The small domestic appliances has been weak from the beginning of the year, and I was wondering if you noticed some further deceleration post-Brexit. And finally, my last question is on the guidance for this year. Looking at the full year consensus and in light of the first half results, seems that the implied second half top line is for an acceleration, a strong acceleration, close to 7-8%, even higher on a like-for-like basis, while the EBITDA should slightly decrease. Is this scenario coherent with your expectation, or there's something that we are, or basically the consensus is missing? And sorry, my really final question is on the hedging policy on 2017. So you mentioned €5 million headwinds for next year, and I would like to know the assumption, basically the hedging on, for example, on the sterling. Thank you.
Okay. I will try to be a bit more precise on Middle East. If anybody can be more precise on what's happening in Middle East, but I would say Middle East, I expect probably to be flat in the second half. Maybe this is best case scenario.
Okay.
Maybe I would guess maybe minus 10% as a worst case scenario, and I might be wrong, but this is my guesstimation as of today. Second, UK is tough. It's not easy. Definitely, we expect also Brexit not to help. But I think that our guidances are also incorporating weakness in the UK. Also, this I expect the UK probably to be down for us in the second half. The third question is about guidance. Guidance. I believe that let's say progressively we will have a tougher comparison in terms of gross margin. Last year, if you recall, prices were already increased in quarter three and quarter four. So the great benefit of, let's say, the improvement of 3.3% on gross margin that we are seeing the first half will fade away in the second half, not because we're giving away margins, but because last year the price increase were already passed on. So we will also have higher marketing expenses. So we think in a very uncertain scenario, we think that we can just confirm that we will probably further expand in absolute value our EBITDA. This doesn't mean that we will deliver necessarily negative EBITDA in absolute value in growth in the third and fourth quarter. It can be positive, it can be more flattish. So we think that our goal, our target, given the circumstances, which are tough comparison because of the strong improvement last year in prices, also in the second half, and this incremental cost, which probably will be, impacting fully the fourth quarter, and maybe the benefits will also be in term of sales will hit 2017 and the future years, probably will suggest to be cautious on the guidance. But we are very positive on the growth rate trends. This is for sure. The fourth point about hedging, I confirm that we think that at the time being the impacts will be very very low. I think that fortunately, after four very tough years, I think that we have got an impact over 4 years, around 150, 160 million euros. We've been able to manage that. The future now is better. We think the impact will be very small, and we have already hedged about 60% of our budget in dollars, but also we are hedging about 2/3 of the Japanese yen, and also we're doing some other currencies. So we are protecting progressively 2017. That's why we're seeing a more stable currency situation for the group in 2017.
Okay, very clear.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up of Niccolò Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of follow-up questions. So first of all, if you can disclose the level of the hedging you have already done for 2017 on the US dollar. And secondly, again, on the Nespresso agreement in the US, if we could have some more color about the kind of agreement. I presume it's a kind of it's an agreement about the distribution of Nestlé manufactured machines. If we could have any idea if there is an exclusivity behind this agreement and the timing of the implementation.
Okay, so on hedging, as said, we have hedged about 60% of our budget in US dollars, about 2/3 of yen, and also we've done other currencies. So I think that we are pretty ahead in terms of hedging for 2017. This is making us quite comfortable that we should have a very limited impact, if any negative impact is expected for next year, in case currency will probably get worse. Second question about Nespresso. Nespresso awarded De'Longhi in other markets. We are very pleased that we've been picked again as a partner of records, particularly for North America. This is also a great recognition for our sales organization and our structures in North America. We have been picked together with another partner or competitor, Breville. We will share in two probably about 90%+ of the market. KitchenAid is still distributing a single item in the range, which accounts for small sales. So we think we should be, the two of us, De'Longhi and Breville, will probably benefit for more than 90% of Nespresso sales. The decision obviously is because Nespresso will adopt in North America a strategy more similar to the one that they adopted in Europe. They will focus on marketing, media investment, in-store activities, and they will rely on very valuable distributors for the machines. This is probably will result in a leaner approach for Nespresso in the marketplace. And at the same time, De'Longhi can count on a greater critical mass vis-à-vis the retail partners. If we consider also that we are relaunching Braun, I think that De'Longhi in America will have a totally new positioning. We can count on a very strong, very well-known, reliable brand as Braun. We can have a greater range, counting on a very growing and, sexy category as capsule espresso coffee makers, and obviously also on the back of the traditional De'Longhi range in North America. So this is a very, very important, a milestone for the De'Longhi organization in North America, and also a clear sign that the venture between De'Longhi and Nestlé is very solid.
And the agreement is already in place, so you're already distributing.
It's signed. We will start rolling out January.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up from Anna Patrice of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, this is Anna Patrice again. On the two follow-up questions, one on the Nespresso in the U.S., you were talking about the marketing of the Nespresso machines. This will be done by Nestle, correct? And then another question is on the working capital improvement. This improvement, does it have anything to do with the factoring and what's going on with the factoring? Thank you very much.
Okay, on Nespresso, yes, yeah, marketing, say the media investments will be done by Nespresso. Also, they will support the in-store demonstrations, while De'Longhi will cure, let's say, will be responsible for the distribution in the retailers, as traditionally done in say all the core markets. The second question is about the factoring. Let me grab some data. Hold on, please. Okay, so on let's say versus 12 months ago, versus June 2015, we have 10 million more of factoring.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. De'Longhi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If there are no more questions, I thank you for attending the De'Longhi first half 2016 conference call. Thank you.